Welcome to grieving. I'm cheating so hard. Welcome to Grieving, Growing, and Glowing with Hisela and Friends. My name is Hisela and I am your host. I never forget my intro. I think that that's a beautiful thing. Welcome to my podcast. Welcome to Grieving, Growing, and Glowing. It's been a while. I think it's been a couple months. It hasn't been that long, but it's been a couple months. I have a lot to say, a lot of thoughts, a lot of things that formulate, whether that's like things that I'm learning in school or just thoughts that I'd be having like on my own. And just wanting to take the time to kind of just talk through it and like, I guess put my thoughts not onto paper, but like onto something. So it makes sense, I guess. I can put it onto paper, but I think talking is just the easiest way because I'm a yapper. If you know me, you know. And so yeah, so it's been a couple months. I actually don't even remember. I'm gonna look at my phone now because I actually don't remember. If you hear SpongeBob in the background or like the sound of like cars and like it sounds like crickets or something, it's because the window's open. But if you hear SpongeBob, then you know you hear SpongeBob. But I don't think it's loud enough for you to hear, so it doesn't. That shouldn't matter. So I'm on my Instagram. Oh my god, it's been a while. Oh, side eye myself. So the last episode that I posted was 5 months ago. That's been a long time. A lot has happened in 5 months. Damn, a lot has happened in 5 months. So still in school, still pushing and thriving, and even like doing this right now, it's a little lot for my mental, but I know that if I don't do this soon, I'm gonna keep pushing it, and I don't want to push it. I'm saying that because I've been sitting in front of my computer since 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's literally about to be 9 o'clock. So that should tell you how my day has been today and like what being in grad school is like, specifically in like a doctoral program. I think it might be similar for people who are like in master's programs, but that's how my day has been. But yes, so using this space to talk about how things have been going and where I'm at in my life and like all the shebang things. Things are going, you know. Grateful for where I'm at. I'm a little overwhelmed and scared for where I'm headed and where I'm going. I think a lot of it comes with a lot of responsibility, and like in my mind deep down I feel like I'm 16, which is crazy because I'm not 16. I'm literally about to be 25. Frontal lobe developed, coming soon in 3 months, 3 months and 10 days. But I think that part of me kind of like, I don't know, I guess I've been doubting myself, and I've had this conversation with my mentor, shout out to Marsha. She's like my mentor, but like older sister, but like all the things, like just a lot of, she plays a lot of different roles in my life. And so I had a conversation with her about how I was feeling about school when I first got back, and like all the feelings, and just, she also got her PhD, first person to get her PhD in Africana studies from Cornell. So yeah, that should tell you about a little bit about who she is. But had a conversation with her, and she was like, grad school, like specifically a PhD program, is to make you feel stupid and to make you feel small, especially being in spaces where like they weren't created for you. So like holding on to those things, and I think a lot of like being in grad school is questioning like your abilities and like questioning like your intelligence and questioning a lot of imposter syndrome. And I think that in my cohort, I think before he had mentioned this, and I've held on to this, that imposter syndrome is rooted in like white supremacy. And I've thought about that for a long time too, but I think that we still like face a lot of like imposter syndrome. And so obviously like being in this program, and like as time going by and progressing and about to be in my third year, like, which is crazy because I remember when I had first moved and everyone was just like, oh my god, you're gonna be gone for so long, and look, I'm literally halfway through. Crazy to even think about. And so I think I've been questioning a lot of my own abilities and like what I'm capable of and what I'm not capable of. And I think a lot of that goes to like being away from family, being in a different place by yourself, exploring different things on your own. And I think I second guess myself a lot. I second guess my abilities, like I said, my intelligence, like my place in this program. Even like sometimes my place in my clients' lives. I think it didn't really at that time it didn't really hit me that I was like helping someone in a way until it was my last session. It was like my last day seeing clients in the spring semester, and one of my clients had said something to me, and like I got really, really emotional. And I think it didn't really like hit me that like, oh, I'm able to like show up for someone in a way that like people have never shown up for them before, or like I'm actually like listening to someone for the first time, like they're being heard and they're being understood, and like they're finally able to talk and they've never like had that before, and if they have, it's in a very different capacity. So I think I question a lot of my abilities a lot, but I think that that's just like people in general, and I think it becomes harder as like you're heading into specific fields and like entering different like spaces of like, oh, am I supposed to be here? Am I meant to be here? Is this for me? And I'm getting the feeling in my throat where I want to cry because I feel like I do question myself a lot, and I'm supported and I'm loved and I'm so grateful. But sometimes I don't really see that in myself. Even though like you can hear it from the people that you love and care about all the time, I think not seeing it in yourself is difficult. Making it a little harder to kind of like be nicer or just be gentle, which is ironic because it's like, oh, how aren't you gentle with yourself? Like, how don't you allow yourself to show up for yourself the way you like tell your clients? And I'm like, oh, it's so different because sometimes sitting across a client is like looking in a mirror. And I think I've learned with time that like I can't ask of my clients to do something that I can't even do myself. So going back to that again, like seeing clients again starting in the fall and like a very different population, a very different group of people, very different system, and being understanding where I'm at in my life and like my privilege and like all those different things. And so it's just hard. It's very, very hard to kind of like, I don't know, it's just really ironic. I think that's been my favorite word, like ironic, isn't it? That's been something that I've been saying a lot. And so with that, I have a lot of thoughts about the state of the world. Just really the state of the world, the things that are happening, the things that I like constantly see on social media. I don't really be on my podcast Instagram that often, but when I do, it's a lot of like positive messages or like a lot of things involving like social movements or like anything like justice and activists and organizing like things. And I think that that makes my heart warm. Oh, I didn't even like, there's just so much to talk about. I was a professor, not a professor. Oh, I was an instructor because I'm not a professor yet. I was an instructor in the spring, and it was literally the highlight of my entire second year. Like, I love teaching. It's something that I really, really, really love, but it's also because I get to teach, or I got to teach the things that I like learned about when I was like 13 for the first time, and being able to expose a completely different group of students and people of different identities and a completely different identity other than my own, especially like white individuals or white young people, of like, this is the reality, like this is the world that you live in, like this is the place that you live in, these are the things that have happened, this is the harm that has been caused. And talking about race and privilege and oppression and like recognizing those things, and just talking about things that they weren't really like taught growing up, especially in a place like where I'm at. It's very difficult to like have those conversations, and they're just not really had because it's like, what is like the reason to? And especially like even the education system here, it's completely different than the one that I like know from back home. Like, I know that a lot of us growing up in New York City, like I remember learning about sex education in sixth grade, and it wasn't even sixth grade, it was middle school, same shit, but it was seventh grade, that's what I meant to say, it was in seventh grade. And we had someone from the health clinic, the community like health center, like come and like teach us and like demonstrate to us what safe sex looked like, what condoms were, what woman condoms look like, STDs, STIs, like all the different things. And I don't think that it was ever to like, what is the word? It wasn't ever to like push us to have sex. It wasn't ever to like be like, oh, we're pushing this idea like that we're open to like having sex. I think a lot of it was just like kids are curious, it just happens. Like, we're human beings, we're bound to, you know, be curious and like wanting to know the whys and like what happens if you do this, what happens if you do that. And so being taught sex education at such a young age, you kind of get exposed to like, oh, if I'm gonna do this, I know how to prevent diseases and I know how to prevent pregnancy. Versus in a state like this one, that's not really something that they talk about. It's kind of like something that is like side-eyed or like viewed very, very different. And a lot of it is like being in the Bible Belt of the US, of like, if we talk about this in schools, we're kind of like encouraging kids to have sex, when in reality, it's like, no, kids are gonna have sex regardless. Would you rather want kids to have sex in a capacity where like they're safe about it and they know about diseases and they know about how to prevent pregnancy and they know what pleasure looks like, versus not teaching them at all and they're gonna do it anyways? So I think that there's a lot of that. And so even like going back to like my students, being able to recognize the differences in like where I grew up and like where they're growing up and like how completely different worlds they both are, but grateful for both the worlds, grateful for where I was and where I grew up, and grateful for where I'm at right now, and like being able to expand my experiences, my thought process, like my interactions with other people, the relationships that I get to build, being exposed to a completely different environment is really, 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 really cool. So I think that was my biggest highlight, and I get to do it again this in the fall. I was gonna say this semester, but I get to do it again in the fall, which I'm really excited about. But this time I have two classes, which is completely different than last semester, so I know that I'm going to love it. It's going to be a lot, but I'm really excited and really, 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 really looking forward to getting to do it again. I think it's like I said, is my biggest highlight. I think it reminds me of when I would teach or when I would facilitate at Broad Sis, and it was a lot of the conversations that were really difficult to have, and like I get to do it now but in like academic setting. And also being mindful of what I do share and what I don't share because of obviously the DEI bill that was passed. And so I'm excited. It's what keeps me going, because in the end, like what I really want to do is be a professor. That's really what I wanted to do with my life. I don't know if people know this, but I never intended on, like, I never wanted to be a psychologist. I never wanted to be a therapist. That was never really like something that I had thought about. I didn't even think it was something that I would be good at. And so you just end up, I just so happened to end up here. But I think in like studying sociology, like when I was an undergrad, and like even minoring in education and legal studies, like everything connects, and you see how both psychology and sociology need each other, but also how they like intertwine. Like, you can't have one without the other. But how much we're constantly impacted by sociology, like it's the study of people, it's the study of like systems, it's the study of like us in our environments and like how they shape us. And I think that that's pretty fucking cool, because our environments play a huge role in the way like we navigate the world. And then comes the like mental function, well, the cognitive functions and the physical functions and the emotional functions and the social functions, that come with like certain environments, and it looks different on different people. And I'm going on a tangent of like all of that, but all of that to say that like I've been doing a lot of thinking, or just I've been in my mind a lot, and I am in my mind a lot for like long periods of time. And with that, I was gonna say I spend a lot of time on social media, which, like, sure, not really. Like, I'm mostly on Twitter. I use Twitter more than any other platform, and Tumblr here and there, and then Instagram. Like, I'll post on my podcast and I'll activate it like once in a while, but for the most part, like, I'd be gone. But in reality, I've thought a lot about social media and like the impact of it. And like, funny enough, doing a group presentation on like social media and like the impact that it has on adolescents, especially like in their growing stages, and briefly like even thinking about like parasocial relationships and like how people or like young kids are very much defending people that they've never met in their life and believe that they have these relationships. But also, I think with that, it's this place of Like, it's not to say that all social media is bad, because, or I guess in other words, like, too much of anything is bad. Whether that's social media, whether that's coffee, whether that's alcohol, whether that's sugar, like, too much of something is bad. So yes, like, too much of social media is bad. And so thinking about, like, people who are chronically online, and, like, even reading research that, like, adolescents can't even have face-to-face conversations with people without feeling, like, anxious, or, like, and that in itself, because they're chronically online, like, they don't know how to develop healthy relationships, and they're developing relationships with people that they've never met, or, like, people that don't even know that they exist. Again, like, and I think that falls into, like, celebrity culture and stuff like that. And I'm saying that because I've noticed how, like, I'm thinking about Love Island, and I've never seen the show. I have seen a lot of, like, things surrounding it, but I've noticed that, like, people will have very long think pieces and, like, these ideas of, like, people that they've never met during their life. And, like, the way people talk about certain people that they've never met a day in their life, and the way they say, like, the most hateful, most nastiest things you've ever read in your life to people that they've never met, as if that doesn't affect one's mental health, because it does if they ever go back and, like, look at that. Like, I would be in shambles. But just, like, this really unhealthy relationship with, like, social media. And I think, like, even streamers play a huge role in, like, very unhealthy relationships with social media. I remember when streaming, I'm thinking about streaming when I was, like, an undergrad, because my cousin is a gamer. Shout out to Daniela and Douglas and Raymond and Gustavo and Chris. Like, my cousins be playing. And shout out to my besties, Jason and Amir, who be playing sometimes, and Jasmine, who be playing games. But I think on a level of, like, streaming was supposed to be a place where, like, gamers would, like, stream them playing video games. And now it's become, like, this vlog lifestyle thing of, like, you're constantly watching someone else live their life. And I think that in itself, that statement should say a lot of, you're spending hours sitting in front of a computer, sitting on a phone, watching someone else live their life when you could be doing the same thing. But I think this idea of, like, people wanting to be like that, of, like, people have this idea of, like, I want to be a streamer, or I want to be an influencer, because I see, like, the money that they're making, I see the brand deals that they're getting, like, I see all those things, which is fine, you know, like, especially when you come from different backgrounds, like, low income, growing up in specific areas, predominantly, like, Black and, like, Latinx, like, neighborhoods where you're lacking resources, where people are working multiple jobs, where people still can't make ends meet. And so when you do become a streamer, or you do go viral, like, you're being able to make men ends meet. But then it's that in itself is, like, oh, like, capitalism of, like, you're selling. I think I had, like, I briefly talked about this on Instagram, but I gave a presentation maybe, like, April in one of my classes, and I talked about how, as people of color in particular, we're quick, like, it's easy to go on social media and talk about, like, something tragic that happened to us in our lives, and you're, like, crying and pouring your heart out on, like, a social media platform. And then here comes a brand deal, like, your video goes viral, then here comes a brand, like, trying to make money off you, and then you're like, okay, like, this is fine, and it's okay because now your ends are being met. Versus, like, oh, we don't realize that, like, brand deals see us as, like, oh, think about, like, going to the grocery store, think about going food shopping, and it's like, instead of people pushing carts are, like, people, they're, like, companies and brands, and they're just going through each aisle looking for which person of color, or, yeah, which person of color, or which person with a tragedy in particular, they want to, like, add to their cart to make their brand look a certain way, or make them look good, or whatever it is. But it's like they're able to pick us up off of aisles and, like, just make money off of us, and it's okay because we're making ends meet. And I think that in itself should, again, speak volumes to, like, what capitalism is, like, doing to us, like, how desensitized we are to a lot of things, how, like, people talk about really, really painful things, and it's just kind of like being brushed off, and it's like, no, people are going through really, really, really hard things, but instead of us like sitting with it, processing it, showing up for people, it's kind of like, oh no, like you're making money off it, so it's cool. And that goes even to me, of like when people be like, oh, I'm gonna be a billionaire, I'm gonna be a millionaire. I hate to break it to y'all. I hate to be the person to hate to be this person, but not everybody's gonna be a billionaire and a millionaire. Like, let's start there. Like, that's something that I need people to unpack and sit with and process, because you're not all going to be millionaires and billionaires. And the reason for that, in order for millionaires and billionaires to exist, you have to exploit people. So if all of us, if I'm gonna include myself in this, if all of us, right, ideally we all said we wanted to be millionaires and billionaires, who the hell are we exploiting? Who are we gonna exploit if all of us like wanna be doing the same thing? And I think it takes away from, I think all of us wanting to do the same thing takes away from the creativity of like being your own person and like creating your own identity of like who is it that you want to be. Because why God, I'm gonna throw God in and like the universe and like all the things, but they didn't make us all equal for so many different reasons. And so like, why do we all want to be the same? Like, why can't we embrace like we're all very, very different? And then I think it's this idea of like not wanting, yes, not wanting to be left out, but like being socially accepted, that people do these things of like, I need to do X, Y, and Z because I need to be socially accepted. And what if you're not? What happens if you aren't socially accepted? What if you meet other people who are just like you? But I think it goes back to this idea of like, everyone wants to be the same, everyone wants to do the same things, and it's like, what happened to being different? What happened to creativity? What happened to being like, what happened to like, I guess I'm not gonna say the word, it's like, what happened to being weird? But like, what happened to wanting to be different? Like, I thought everybody wanted to be different. Now it seems like we all want to be the same. But I think that goes into the individualistic mindset that we're like living in such a capitalist society where we're just thinking about ourselves and not thinking about other people. Like, look, imagine how cool it is to be in a group of friends and all of you are very, very different, have very different hobbies, but have similar hobbies, have very different styles, like, and coming together and like being, and you get to thrive and get to support one another in community, because that's like, we're social beings, that's what we're meant to do, to thrive in community. And so I think about that a lot. And again, it's not to like crush anybody's dream on like, oh, if you want to be an influencer, if you want to be a streamer, like, no. But it's just like, is that actually what you want to do? Is it because you see everybody else doing it? Do you see everybody else doing it and they're making money off of it? So now you feel like that's something that you need to like do. Where is your passions? Where are your passions? What are your hobbies? What are your creative flows? Where do your creative juices come from? Why does it have to be the same thing that everybody else is doing? And to be honest, not everyone is built for that. Because there, to me, there's no class, there's no advice or anything like that that another streamer or another influencer can tell me about, like, this is how you get more viewers, this is how you get more people to watch your stuff. If people don't want to watch your shit, people don't want to watch your shit. Like, there's no other way to put that. Like, people just don't want to watch you, they don't want to watch you. There's nothing that you can do, because some people got it, some people don't. And that's just the reality of it. I think everybody wants to have the same things when we all can't have the same things. And I'm talking about the same things in terms of like the same exact passion, or the same, not passions, the same exact like careers, like the same exact like from beginning to end. And I'm not talking about that in terms of like food and healthcare and education and housing. Like, no, we are all deserving of all those things. I don't give a flying fuck. We are all very much deserving of all those things. And so, again, it's not to like shit on any people who want to do that or people who are that. It's just more like, why, like, people really need to sit with themselves. It's like, why is it that you do want to do that? What, like, what is the reason? Is it something that you actually want to do, or do you see everybody else doing it? And having to process that on your own and figuring it out. And I get it. It seems like such an easy way to make money because you're seeing other people do it. And people are like buying houses and buying cars and going on trips and buying houses for their family. So you're like, oh, I want to do the exact same thing. But maybe that's not the way for you. And I feel like that's a piece of advice that influencers and like streamers I feel like leave out, or like social media influence, like people leave out, like some of these things are not meant for everybody. But I feel like it's this agenda and this thing that is being pushed on, like we all need to do X, Y, and Z, when in reality we really don't. And I'm going on a tangent about that. But with that, I'm even thinking about like accountability, and I've been thinking about this for a while now. And I think again it relates to like seeing stuff about Love Island. And something that I've recognized is that people want to hold other people accountable, right? We've learned a lot of psychological words throughout the course of time, and people just be throwing them out in the air without really knowing what they mean. And I'm not saying that as someone who's in a mental health professional field, because a lot of these words I also didn't even like know until I got into the field. Because again, this wasn't my field. My field was sociology. Shout out to sociology. But we talk about accountability, and we talk about wanting to hold people accountable for like the things that they're doing, for their actions, for the way they've caused someone harm and things like that. And valid, valid. But one of the things that I've noticed, especially with like using social media, is that accountability is used as a way to exile people. And it kind of like, think about like, it's like the word accountability equals cancel culture. And that's how I see it on social media. I think people use this idea of accountability to try to cancel people out and exile them and like punish them in some sort of way, which I'm not gonna say like, yeah, sure, like that's what we should be doing to people, because no, when we talk about accountability, one, you can't hold anybody accountable online. You really only hold people accountable when you're in community. How are you gonna hold somebody accountable that you don't even know, and you don't even share space with, that you have a parasocial relationship with? Like, how are you gonna hold somebody accountable that you've never seen in your life, that you've never had a conversation with? And I guess, yeah, when people be like, oh, when you hold celebrities accountable and they change like a word in a song, or they change something, or even like these companies, when people are boycotting them, they start losing money, like holding, I guess that could be like, but that's not even accountability, that's just boycotting, if we're being honest. But into the accountability piece, I recognize that like people see anybody or see people thriving, and their first thing, instead of like trying to be supportive of like people, their first thing is, how do I trace back things that they've done before to bring it to light now and have people cancel them? But we like, it's kind of like, instead of it being like cancel them, their word is like accountability. Like, how can we bring shit up that someone did in the past to hold them accountable? But then it leads to like cancel culture, and even that itself, like cancel culture isn't really real, because so many celebrities have said very much problematic shit, have done a lot of problematic shit, are still selling out shows, are very much still making music, are still very much still being supported. So again, cancel culture is not real. Like let's get that right. Except for the guy who sings Crew. Not Brent Faiyaz, the other one, after he said that shit about Mac Miller, like after that, yeah. I think that's one person that I've never heard of ever again. And so when I think back to the accountability portion, when I think about accountability, I'm like, we talk a lot about people changing, and like we say that people change and we're able to grow and we're able to heal, but then like you're going back to try to find something that somebody said like 7 years ago to try to hold them accountable. And to me, it's like to me, it's like a power thing. It isn't even accountability, it's a power thing. It's like, I have this one up on you, I have this shit that you said, now I'm gonna use it against you. But I'm gonna use it against you in a way that exiles you and punishes you and leaves you outcasted, like from the world and from people. When in reality, like that's not accountability. Like, accountability is a community thing. Yeah, you can hold yourself accountable for actions, but it's also a space to like heal, grow, process, and like be able to be better next time. Which confuses me, because I'm like, oh, people on social media love to talk about mental health and run with these big words and talk about prioritizing your mental health and like being kinder to people and XYZ. And like people can change and people can be better. But then you're pulling up shit that somebody said 7 years ago. Now, what if they're not the same person then than they are now? Even if it is at their big age. Even if it is at their big age. Because I could say that I like pickles today, and next week I might not like them, and that's on me. I could tweet it right now that I like pickles, and next week I'm gonna be like, actually, I don't like pickles, and who's gonna tell me what? Because I'm allowed to change my opinion. when you are able to learn information, when you learn new information, when you learn things that are right when things that are wrong, especially when you're not being corrected, like your thoughts change, your mind changes, the way you have viewed the world in one way has probably changed now. And so I think about that a lot. I don't think that people use accountability on social media as like an accountability thing. I think it's really more a power thing, and it makes me really, 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 really upset. Because that's not what accountability is about. And so just a lot of things like going through my mind, trying to like process, even like thinking about those things and like how do you navigate them? How do you like, it's just weird because it's such an interesting thing that people. It's like social media is an interesting place because people contradict themselves so often and people are like hypocrites so often, and it's just like we can't talk about prioritizing mental health, being kind to people and this and that, but then you're constantly sending death threats to somebody. You're constantly shaming somebody, you're constantly like replying to somebody's story or comment or tweet or whatever it is, and you're like judging them to some capacity, or you're telling them that like just shit like that. I also think that social media is a place where like misinformation gets spread really, really, really fast. People read big, giant text words, especially specifically from like the shade room, and run with it. And I'm like, y'all literally, like, you are on the internet 25/8. You can literally like type in on Google and see if it's true or not. And what's crazy to me is that people used to clown. Let's talk about this. Y'all used to clown y'all parents and be like, my parents believe everything on the internet. They believe everything that they send them on WhatsApp. The apple don't fall too far from the tree, 'cause y'all be the exact same way. No like comprehension skills, no research skills, no nothing. Just seeing something on Instagram and running with it. You know how fast I'd be seeing a post on Instagram and go Google it? You know how fast I'd be seeing tweets sometimes that relate to anything that I've learned in school, and I send it to a professor to like see if this is true or not, because people are so quick to believe anything and everything. And that is very, very scary. And it goes into the conversation of like propaganda, of like a lot of these things is what they want you to believe. And like you believe it because you're like, oh, I read it on the internet, so it must be true. No, pick up a book, bitch. Pick up a book. Pick up a book. Read a research article online. I don't know how to like explain it. Watch a YouTube video. And even then, like that in itself. But like, there's spaces for you to like engage and read and like actually get right information. Like, you're dead on the internet 25/8, and instead of taking the time to either spread the correct information, and obviously a lot of that shit is like, oh, clickbait, and people be like saying shit to get money off of Twitter or whatever it is, or get people to reply to them and engage with them and like whatever it is, because you know you'll be making money off like engagement. See, capitalist society. But I think with that is like you're on the internet all the time, and instead of you like you are on a social media platform 25/8, and you can't go on Google and type this real quick to see if it's true. You're just gonna run with it, and then you believe that it's so true because it's an Instagram post that you saw. And I think that that's crazy. I think that we've reached the end of times because that is absolutely absurd. There is no reason. But I get it. I get it. I understand. But sometimes I understand and I don't understand. And the reason I say I don't understand is because what do you mean? What do you mean you believe something that you saw on a post? Like, and I feel like to me it kills me because I'm like, do y'all not remember when you were in school and they taught you that like reliable sources are usually like .org, .edu, .gov. So sometimes I'm like, sometimes you just gotta laugh. But I think it's been a lot of those things that I've been like thinking about. And even it's just interesting to like watch it unfold in real time and like the impact that it's actually really having on people's mental health. And it's really, 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 really scary. But one thing that I have like told, I'm on my phone trying to figure out what other things that I wanted like to share. But I was thinking about, oh damn, I lost my train of thought. Book. It's gonna come back. Yes. Okay. So seeing like the impacts that that social media has on people's mental health is really, 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 really scary. There we go. I got my thought back after saying that. Also, I want to say, ever since I started like being a therapist, I have really great listening skills. And I'm gonna say that I was not the greatest listener because I was someone who would always be on my phone when people were talking, or like I would be thinking about something completely different. But after seeing clients, and I'm gonna get back to my point after I say this. This is also why I feel like my brain just be going, because I'd be having one thought from one thought to another thought to another thought, and that's just how my brain works. But what I was saying was that, oh, I lost my train of thought. Why do I keep losing my train of thought? You see, it's like a lot of like thoughts jumbling in my brain, and I can't even seem to wrap my mind around what I was gonna say. I really don't remember. It's gonna have to come back to me. Wow, this is crazy. I cannot believe. Okay, so now I'm back, and I had gotten my train of thought. Basically, what I was saying was, because I spent so much time being distracted on my phone for a lot of the time, sometimes I never really like was listening to somebody, if I'm being 110% honest, because I'd be distracted on my phone. But after like spending a lot of time like being a therapist, you have to be focused when you're talking to a client. Like, there's no being on your phone, especially if you're seeing clients back to back, especially in like usually like 45 to 50 minute sessions. Like, you're actively listening to someone, and I've noticed that I've picked up on like being a better listener because of it. Because you literally have to be intentional when listening to your clients. You have to be very intentional about literally just listening to them talk, because you're reflecting back to them, you're asking them questions, you're being alert on the things that they're saying. So I've been able to pick up on, like, I've allowed myself to be a better listener because of it, and I'm really, really, really grateful for it. Because I was actually one of those people that literally like sucked at like telling you what you said back. And now, like, I can vividly remember things that my friends are like talking about, and they'd be like, damn, I forgot what I was saying. And then I can bring it back because I remember what you were saying, what you were talking about. But that was my little like sidebar into like the bigger thought. In the impact of like social media on people's like mental health and like physical being, like all the different things, like really cognitive and emotional functioning, really. I think I'm recognizing that like throughout the course of time, because of how much technology is advancing and like how things are going, there's gonna be a lot of people in therapy. A lot of people in therapy throughout the course of time. And it's not saying like, oh, going to therapy is a bad thing, but I feel like I wonder, I guess in my mind, it's always the like, I wonder if the amount of clients is going to increase throughout the course of time because how severely impacted people are with social media, like with body dysmorphia and like self-esteem issues. And those are like really two big ones, if we're being honest, and the anxiety that comes with that and the depression that comes with that. Because when you think about when you get likes on an Instagram post or a DM, or you get a like on Twitter, or you get a reply, like likes and comments on TikTok, whatever it is, that is like a reward system that happens in your brain, and it's like the dopamine. And the more and more of the reward system becomes addicting, like gambling, like a substance use problem. And so those are like way areas that we're headed, if people like knew that or not, but that's where we're kind of like headed. And people are being severely impacted by everything that they see. If we're being honest, we're living in that Black Mirror episode. I think it's called Nosedive, season 3, episode 1. We're literally living in that time zone, time frame, whatever you want, that episode. We're living in multiple Black Mirror episodes, but that one right now is very, very big. And it kind of makes me sad because I'm like, oh my God, like kids. I think seeing people talk about a lot of the time how kids don't know how to read, and that makes me really sad because reading is so fundamental. Like, it's such a like big portion of like growing, like reading, being able to interact with people. And I think that that's where it becomes scary, because when you think about the study of sociology, it's like a lot of it is like social When I think about the study of sociology, I think about like the study of like people's environment and stuff like that. But like, you understand and learn through there that we're social beings and we need each other in order to survive. So if we're bringing in a generation of kids that don't even know how to interact with one another because it's easier for them to interact through a phone rather than face to face because it brings them anxiety and depression, or it gives them more, not depression, but it gives them more social anxiety than anything else. What kinds of relationships are people gonna have? Like, it's leading more towards individualistic society, and like, I don't know, in my mind, it can even lead to like us as a society falling apart because we need each other more than anything. So, as generations and time is going by, it's more like, oh, people don't know how to interact with each other in person without it being weird, without it being awkward, without it being nerve-wracking or anxiety provoking. But I also think that COVID had a huge part in doing that. Because even when it comes to like people self-diagnosing a lot on TikTok and stuff like that, and I don't have TikTok, so I don't ever really know, but I do hear from other people on how often people are self-diagnosing, whether that's ADHD, OCD, ADHD, OCD, autism. I think those are really, really big ones that are people are constantly like trying to say that they have. And to me, I wonder because a lot of those diagnoses, you start seeing the symptoms like young, you don't really see the symptoms. If I'm not mistaken, I think they start like, and I'm sure of this, they start showing up as like a child, like when you're a kid. And like, obviously, depending on like whether you're diagnosed and treatment and like medication and all the things, it can intensify. And also, that can lead to like psychosis when you're not properly medicated when you know you need to be, or like you don't even know that you need to be medicated because you have this diagnosis that you never like gotten, like all those different things. But people are self-diagnosing a lot. And I noticed that like even when it comes to OCD, the people just be like, oh, I need to like excessively clean my room. Like OCD is a little bit deeper than that. OCD is a little bit deeper than that. Autism is a little deeper than that. Like, no, I think I see a lot of like, oh, I listen to the same song every single day. I listen to the same song 5 times in a row. I must have autism. Like, that's just not how that works. And it's not to say that some people don't have it, but I'm sure a lot of people do. Sure, a lot, there's a lot of misdiagnoses. I'm sure people have never been diagnosed, but just because someone's experience online means that, like, it's just because someone's experience with their diagnoses online is this, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the exact same diagnosis that you have, or that the thing that you're experiencing similar to them is a symptom of the diagnosis. I hope that makes sense. I try to speak, my brother says that I speak in, he was like, oh, you don't know how to speak like English, like you don't know how to speak like normal, which is interesting because to me, I'm like, when I talk in classes or I speak in classes, I feel like I'm gonna be honest, I really feel like I sound like a stereotypical, like what people would consider a quote unquote like ghetto ass bitch or like a ghetto person. Like, I feel like people, when I speak in class, I feel like I sound non-educated because of where like I grew up. And I'm not ashamed of it because I'm never gonna change the way that I speak. It's just how I speak, it's a part of who I am. Professionalism is rooted in white supremacy, so I don't ever want to conform to that and like, oh, I need to speak professional. But it's interesting because when I'm speaking in class, I feel like I sound uneducated. And then when I'm speaking to my family, I feel like I'm speaking like regular English, like I'm speaking like non-educational. And they're, my brother tells me to speak English, and then when I'm in classes, I feel like they're telling me to like speak more educational. And it's just this like whole thing. But those are just things that I've been like thinking about throughout the course of time. And there's like other things that I wanted to like highlight and like talk about. I just feel like there's so much thoughts, and I feel like I need to start writing like the things that come up in my brain like on paper so I can like execute them and bring them to life. But there's just so many things going on in the world, and it's forever free Palestine, it's forever free Puerto Rico, it's forever free Hawaii, it's forever free Guam, it's forever free Congo, it's forever free Sudan, it's forever free, like, fuck colonialism, fuck imperialism, like, fuck all these things that are causing catastrophes in the world. There's just so much going on from like this presidency and people being directly impacted, and like that makes me really uncomfortable. And I've like I brought it up in my class because I've noticed that like being in school, I'm gonna be honest, like being in school, sometimes it's difficult for me to like want to pay attention to what's going on in the world. Not, and again, that in itself is coming from a place of privilege. Even though like in some capacity, like I may be impacted, I think my brain is so focused on like I have shit to do, I have assignments to complete, I have tasks to do, I have research that I need to do, that when it comes to wanting, or like when it comes to like being informed about the state of the world, sometimes it's just like I don't, not that I don't have time for that, but I like, I don't, the good phrase is not I don't have time for that, because that's not a good phrase at all to not be informed about what's going on. It's more like all this stuff that's in my face, like I need to get done, like I can look into what's happening like later. And so I've learned that like I do that a lot. And so I had brought up in my class, I was like, oh, like I think that as people who are like working towards being psychologists, I think it's important to talk about the state of the world and how we're being directly impacted, and like how other people are being impacted, and like people who are currently being impacted, like they might be our clients someday. And so like we're living in the same time period, and like our professor had asked like what do we want to be remembered by, and I was like, I want to be remembered as us being badasses who like stood our grounds and like stood on business, like you said how you said and that's how you felt, and like continuing to challenge these systems that were built against us, and continuing to challenge them, because a lot of things don't make sense to me. I guess in my mind, in my ideal world, I'm like, how the fuck, why the fuck do you think like that? Like, why do you think that this makes sense? But again, a lot of like our environment plays a huge role. I think our family systems play a huge role. Our birth orders play a huge role. Like, I was having a conversation with my mom about that. Our genders play a huge role. Shout out to Kimberly Crenshaw for intersectionality. Like, all our intersecting identities play a huge role in the way we view the world, and like why we think the way that we do. Especially when you grow up in households where like it's been the same mindset over and over and over and over and over. How are you gonna learn about X, Y, and Z when you've never even been taught about ABC? You know? How are you gonna learn about X, Y, and Z when you don't even know what ABC? Like, you don't even know that. Because your family has been stuck on the LMNOP. Your family has been stuck on that. How are you gonna learn about the ABC or the XYZ if your family been stuck on the LMNOP? You know? I hope that that makes sense. I hope like in my brain like that is something that completely makes sense. So sometimes it's just difficult and like frustrating, because I'm someone who like I don't like to argue. Okay, maybe I do. It's not even that I don't like to argue. I think the word is not I don't like to argue. I really do like to challenge people and like the way that they think, because sometimes I'm like, where did you get this piece of information from? And I'm not saying that I'm turning into one of those people that like, oh, like this needs to be backed up by like empirical evidence or by research. But a lot of things are backed up by research, because there's one thing, let me say something. One thing that I've learned that has stuck with me since being in this program is that your thought is not an original thought. Somebody already thought about what you thought of. Unfortunately, like these ideas, which is why like I guess quote unquote like certain fashion things be coming back, and hairstyles and eras and this and that, because like that's just what it is. And so for me sometimes it's like I want to like I guess the word is challenge, but sometimes I just want people to see like a different perspective. Like your perspective isn't the only one. And also I think something is just like to say is like someone's lived experience doesn't need to be relatable for it to be true. Because I even would remind my students of this all the time, of like just because someone's lived experience is different than your own does not mean that it's not true. You just didn't have to live that lived experience. You never had to sat in their shoes. You never had to sit. You just never had to sit in their shoes, stand in their shoes, whatever it is. Like you just never had to be in that position for you to like even think outside the box. So I think it's like people are trapped in this one box and don't want to get out of it. And I think a lot of that is like even people who like tweet something, and then you have someone tagging, like how often I see of like someone tagging AI to like explain it to them, and I'm like, oh my God, like reading comprehension is at its low. Like the fact that people can't even think for themselves, like they have like a tool, a robot, like thinking for them. Like, Did we not? Are there not movies on this? Did we not see what happens when we do these things? And so constantly like thinking about these things and even constantly thinking about to save the world. And yeah, going back to like my point of what I was saying is that trying to remind myself that other things are going on, but obviously still trying to find like joy in like the midst of the chaos, because that's also a really big part of like I mentioned on my post about like liberation and resistance, of like seeing the joy through like all this, even though like things can get really, really hard and are really, really, really tough. It's just hard to when you see the state of the world and you're like, there's a fucking concentration camp in fucking Florida, and like it's just like you have ICE detaining people while they're shopping at Walmart, while they're like going to pick up kids from school. Like we're actively living, and it's crazy because I was thinking about this, I think maybe yesterday or like a couple days ago. I was like, we're really living in a time where like we've witnessed so many things happened, and like I used to, thinking about history, like I used to read like history or history books, and when I was in school, and I used to be like, oh shit, like people really lived through that. And then I'm thinking about like us now, and like people are gonna read about the things that we're living through, like we're actively living through history. And not saying that not every single person hasn't lived through history, because I'm sure people have, but I'm talking about like these crazy ass moments in history that we're actively living in, and it's just like, oh, okay. And I always say that we will never be ballsy enough. We are too pussy, and I'm always gonna say this, we are too pussy. We will never be like Haitians. Shout out to Haitians forever for the Haitian Revolution. They fucking overthrew their government. You know what it takes to have people overthrow their government and stand on shit of like, we are deserving of X, Y, we are deserving of so much better. I was gonna say X, Y, Z, that's just like what it is, but we are deserving of so much better. And people here are like, oh no, fuck it, like it's not directly impacting me, like why do I care? Which goes back to, guess what, a capitalist individualistic society. It's always gonna go back to that, because you gotta think about people other than you, how they're being impacted, why they're being impacted, and who's the one that's impacting them, like why are they being targeted, why are they being affected. But it's easy to think about, it's easy to not think about these things when you're not being directly impacted, because to you it doesn't faze you. Like what is the point of it if it's not gonna like come at you in any shape, way or form. I even think when the ICE raids were happening and people were like, oh, black people, like that's a Latinx Hispanic got people fight, we gotta like sit this one out. Did you know that black Latinx individuals exist? Like Afro Latinos and Afro Latinas exist? What do you mean this is just a Latinx Hispanic thing? Did you know that Haitians are one of the most deported people, and like that are constantly like detained, like black immigrants, not just Latinx immigrants. Like so, and like two things can coexist. Like you can be a black Afro Latino, like you could be a black Latinx person. I think people forget those things. And I think one last thing that I really, or a few couple things that I really wanted to say was, I wanted to bring up Mondini for, I think that that was a beautiful thing, and like I shouted out New York, duh, in my class for it, of like people intentionally like raise money for his campaign and like want to see a better New York. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I think we're headed in the right direction. I do think that, like I said in the post, like this idea of voting is very, very interesting, because I myself, when I think about voting, I always think about like how you're gonna keep voting in a system that like don't even care about you, like time and time again has showed you throughout the course of history that they don't give a fuck about you. And here you are like still being a part of a system, but I guess like seeing that there's someone who wants to help, and like we're capable of it, and like all these different things, like it's possible in so many different capacities. And I think that it's a beautiful like way to show like it's time for us to like step into our power and be like, okay, like this is what I feel like we're deserving of, because people are deserving of a lot of things, and I want people to like sit with that, because I think that first people who always come to my mind are incarcerated individuals and like because working with like groups of disabled students, there are like people who come to my mind, and those are still people. I think we leave incarcerated folks out of a lot of conversations because we're like, oh, they did X, Y, see, I'm gonna say the X, Y, and Z, because they did or they committed this crime that they're like deserving to be treated like shit. They deserve to be treated like an animal, when in reality, like, that's not a person. Which is why I say, like, a lot of people will not agree with some of my beliefs, but I believe that people are people, and to a capacity, like, I do believe that people can change. I'm in a field where I actively see people like growing and changing and healing and wanting to be better and like breaking curses and like communicating effectively and setting boundaries and sitting with their feelings and like processing their emotions. And I think the same for people who are incarcerated. Like, the same when we talk about us being impacted and like we're direct products of our environment, so are they. Why are they left out of the conversation? Watched a video in class about what it takes to like what makes a bully, and the first thing that I thought of was like, oh, it's so interesting that we see it in this context, but we leave people who are incarcerated out of the conversation of like the same thing that happened to someone who became a bully can similarly happen to someone who is incarcerated. What's the difference? Is it because of the biases that we have? Is it because of the media exposure to criminal stereotypes that we have? And a lot of that is related to my bringing it back, because it relates to my dissertation. And so, as you can see, I have a lot of thoughts, I have a lot of things that I like just always have to talk about and share, and like things that come to my mind. But I really need to start writing them down because I feel like I had so much more to say. Mind you, I've been chatting, but I feel like I've had so much more to say. And I don't know. I feel like this is gonna be something that I wanna do, and like, and I say this quite often, but this is something that I do wanna be consistent with, as like I'm coming to the ends of my summer semester and like starting the fall and like figuring out what self-care looks like to me. And I feel like my podcast is gonna be my baby and my self-care that I pour into and that I give it a lot of love, aside from like trying to do that with myself. But I wanna continue to like nurture and like feed my podcast, because it's really important to me to like share things that I'm learning, share things that like just come to my mind. Like, I love being in spaces, I love being in classrooms, because I get to sit with people who are going to be psychologists and like talk about things that like, I don't know, I just think I really like to talk and I really like to learn, and like my mind is always blown. And so when I do learn something in a classroom, I always want to share it with other people, which is why I try to use my Twitter for that. But sometimes I'm like, oh, sometimes I just want to be in like a group chat with people and like text them like, yo, I just learned this in class, like, isn't this cool? Even learning about like learned more about eugenics and like what that looks like, and like an IQ testing, and literally from listening to a podcast for class. And y'all should check it out if you want to listen to a different podcast. You should. I think it was such a fire ass podcast. I really, 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 really enjoyed it. It made me want to listen to more podcasts related to like things that I get to learn. They also fact check in the podcast, which I think is completely like absolutely fucking fire. But it's called Radiolab. We heard, I think the specific series that we heard was just G, like the letter G. And so yeah, I just always want to use my platform as a like space to like share things. Oh, I also wanted to say I got the chance to, I think I posted this on my story if I'm not mistaken, I got the opportunity to like be on a student panel a few weeks ago, and where we talked about like the presidency and like what that looked like, and like for youth organizers and activists, like what would that look like for them, like what should they do. And then I also had the opportunity to testify in city council on behalf of the nonprofit that I was a part of, talking about the impact of segregation in education, but also emphasizing mental health in New York City, specifically New York City public schools. And like, as always, all that stuff warms my heart and like makes me feel like I'm doing the work. It's interesting because being a therapist should be something that makes me feel like I'm doing the work, because I'm helping people heal and like grow and change and like see things very different and give them a different perspective and like reflect and like, I don't know, see things for what they are, but also like allowing them to like process like years of trauma, process like grief, process like all these different things, which should feel like a big healing thing. I guess I'm just a big loud person that like action-oriented things are more my like form of like activism and organizing. So when I get to do it, I'm really, 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 really in awe and favored and just appreciate it. With that being said, I literally have, I'll be doing a imposter syndrome workshop next week, which I'm really, really, really excited about for high school seniors at the nonprofit that I was a part of. I'm really, really, really excited about that. And overall, I'm just really excited. I'm just really happy. And again, like, I appreciate y'all for still supporting me in my podcast, even when I be MIA and like just life is lifing and like things are happening and I have a lot of moving parts. I do think that I want to prioritize this as like my self-care thing. I also want to be a better friend. I want to be a better sister. I want to be a better daughter. I think I suck at communicating, and I know I'm aware. I suck at communicating because to me, I'd rather not talk to somebody because I don't want to talk half-assed and talk to them at all. But I'm learning that like a text goes a long way of just like, well, I'm thinking about you, or like I heard this and I thought of you, or like you just came to my mind, like how are you? I think that those things are more important than just not talking to people at all. So I want to hold myself accountable in that, that I've been a really, 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 really shitty friend for the last maybe like couple months, year. But the phone also works both ways. Not saying that it's all on me, but I do take accountability and like realizing that I'm busy all the time. And like sometimes I'd be like real shit, and I'm gonna say this, like I'd be exhausted like anybody else. And I'm learning that like sometimes you have to make compromises. Sometimes you have to make compromises with the people that you love to do shit that you don't even like for them because it makes them happy. And so for me, I'm learning that like even if I am tired and my friends want to like catch up for like 30 minutes, like I should want to do that because they're my friend. But sometimes like I think people forget that like sitting across from someone, sitting across like being in a clinic from like 8 to 4 and like constantly talking to people all day and processing their emotions and like the things that they're going through is beautiful, but it also takes a lot of like energy. And so sometimes you just get home and you don't want to talk and you don't want to say anything to anybody. But again, like I said, I'm trying to hold myself accountable to be a better friend, be a better sister, be a better daughter, be a better cousin, be a better family member, be a better student, like all these different things. And I'm gonna work on it. I think we're all works in progress and we're trying to be better, or whatever better looks like, because we're never gonna be perfect. It's always just gonna be progress, and like healing is not linear. Growth is not linear. Sometimes we take 10 steps front and we end up taking 4 steps back, and like that in itself is also okay. And like applauding ourselves for that. But like I said, I appreciate y'all for still supporting my podcast even when I be MIA. I really, 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 really appreciate it. It really, really means a lot to me. It feels like a big hug. I love that y'all interact with the things that I post and like have ideas for what y'all want me to talk about. This is just gonna be a part of my mini series of like my experiences. But I'm so grateful for each and every single one of you. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for rocking with me. Thank you for like showing me mad love. Like I deadass appreciate it. Like it really does mean a lot. It reminds me that like I'm on this like weird journey. Like I kind of been on this journey with me since before I even been on this program, which is kind of scary. And like I'm halfway through. Can you fucking believe that? Like when I first started this, I was post grad. Now I'm like 3rd year, about to be 3rd year into grad school. And I'm like literally halfway to be a doctor, and like that shit scares the fuck out of me. Ugh, so uncomfortable. But thank you for rocking with me. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for all your beautiful words always. I'm so grateful. Until next time.